all of us to be attentive to your word this morning. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, well, we're there in Joshua chapter number 7. And like we've been talking about, today is our Worker Appreciation Sunday. And we're talking about our workers and our volunteers and the things they do around here. And I want to preach to you. We're not going to go through this whole passage or even cover the whole story, but I want to focus in on something that we see here in the story in Joshua chapter number 7. If you would just begin there at verse number 1, notice what the Bible says. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1, the Bible says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing." Now, in this passage, we find that the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, is dealing with the consequences of sin. And I'm not preaching on that this morning. I'm not preaching about the sin of Achan. But I do want you to notice that something we can learn from this passage is that our sin affects more than just us. Our sin has an effect on other people. Here we see in the story that, notice, the children of Israel, referring to the entire nation, committed a trespass, as if the entire nation had sinned in the accursed thing. Then the Bible tells us, for Achan, that's one man, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, notice what Achan did. He took of the accursed thing. And again, I'm not going to go through the whole story. They were supposed to conquer Jericho. They were not allowed to take anything from Jericho. The first fruits were to be given to God. And Achan decided to disobey that and took of the accursed thing. Notice what the Bible says. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Achan. Is that what it says? No. It says the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Because of one man's sin, it affected an entire congregation. And again, I'm not preaching on that this morning, but that should be a lesson to all of us. If you are a husband, if you are a father, if you are a mother, you need to realize that your personal sin does not only affect you, but it can have a trickle-down effect on all of those that are part of your family. So that's a lesson there. And again, I'm not preaching on that, but I don't want to read that and let that go. Look at verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho. So they just got the victory in Jericho, and they're getting ready to go fight their next battle, which is Ai. Notice what it says, to Ai. And Joshua sent some men on a reconnaissance mission, right? He's sending men out to observe the region, to locate the enemy, to get some strategic features in regards to the next battle. Notice what the Bible says. And Joshua sent men from Jericho, verse 2, to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, "Go up and view the country." And the men went up and viewed Ai. Now, the children of Israel, as we already read the passage, fail miserably in this battle with Ai. And though the primary reason for the failure is Achan's sin, and that's the primary thing that's dealt with in this passage, and I'm not preaching on that this morning, I would like to key in on something else in this passage that is also highlighted in this passage as a reason for their failure, the reason that they did not succeed, the reason that they lost the battle of Ai, which was a much easier battle and a smaller city to conquer than was Jericho. The reason that they lost is highlighted here in this passage for us. Let's look at it together. Look at verse 3. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, notice what they said. They said, "Let not all the people go up." They said, "Let not all the people go up." See, these people are filled with pride a little bit. They just got done beating Jericho, which was a major city, which was a major victory. They were the underdogs, and they came in and totally annihilated them with the power of God. Now they're a little puffed up. Now they're a little arrogant. Now they think they can do anything. And they look at Ai, this small city, this small conquest, and they said this, and this was one of their major mistakes. One of the reasons they lost the battle of Ai, because they went into it with this attitude which said, "Let not all the people." Let not all the people. And if you don't mind writing in your Bible or underlining in your Bible, I would underline these words, "not all the people." They said, "Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai." Notice what he says. Notice what they say. And make, notice these words, "not all the people to labor hither, for they are but few." If you don't mind underlining in your Bible, I would underline those words the second time you see those four words. Not all the people. They said, and make not all the people to labor hither, for they are but a few. You say, why did they lose the battle? What was the failure of the children of Israel? What was the reason that they lost the battle? And I would submit to you this morning that one of the reasons they lost the battle is because they chose not to involve everyone. They said, just a few will do. They said, don't bother everybody. Don't get everybody involved. Don't let not all the people go up and make not all the people to labor. They said, not everybody has to get involved. We just need a few. And when they chose to not involve everyone, they at the same time made a choice to allow just a few to carry the burden. Notice verse 4 again. So there went up hither out of the people, notice, about 3,000 men. About 3,000 men, and when they go into the battle, notice what the Bible says, and they fled before the men of Ai. See, they said, hey, we don't need everybody to go fight. We don't need everybody to get involved. We don't need everybody to labor. They said, just let 3,000 do it. But when the 3,000 went, the 3,000 fled before them in Ai. Now, here's what's interesting about that number 3,000, is if you turn one page over to chapter 8, in chapter 8, we now have them right with God. They've now taken care of the sins of Achan, and they're getting ready to go fight the battle again. And this time, they're going to do it with the power of God, and they're actually going to win. And here's what's interesting about chapter 8. And look down at verse number 3, Joshua chapter 8 and verse 3. So Joshua arose, notice the difference now, and all the people. See, in chapter 7, it was, let not all the people. In chapter 7, it was, make not all the people to labor. Now, the Bible says, Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out. Now, notice the number that we're given here. When we're told that all the people, that all the soldiers, that everyone who's able to go out to war goes, notice how many go out. 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. Now, here's what's interesting about that. Initially, they sent how many? 3,000. When they could send everybody, they sent how many? 30,000. That means they sent 10% of their military to go fight the battle in Ai, and they lost. And you know what's interesting about that is this, that within organizations, if you read business books or books about, you know, organizations and structuring things and getting things to be able to flow well and things like that, you know, you will find often, even written by the secular world, that businesses, organizations, and even places like churches will often have what people call the 10% rule. Sometimes it's called the 20% rule. It's usually the 10% rule. And here's the 10% rule, is that 10% of the people do 90% of the work. Or you could say 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And what's interesting about that is that we see that here in the Word of God. They're getting ready to go fight a battle. They've got this entire military who can go out and fight and win the battle. But they said, no, let 10% do 90%. And see, they failed when they chose to not involve everyone. And they failed when they allowed a few to carry the burden. And for this reason, for the reason of uninvolvement, they failed in what God had called them to do. Notice verse 5 of chapter 7, Joshua chapter 7, verse 5. And the men of Ai smote them. Notice what it says, about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Now keep in mind, they just got done fighting a big battle. Jericho lost no one. They now go into this small battle. They send in 10% of their men. And the Bible says that 36 men died. And you can say, well, 36 men dying from 3,000 men, that's not a lot. But please understand, this is 36 women in the nation of Israel now mourning for a husband. You've got 36 fathers and 36 mothers who are mourning the death of their son. You've got children. 36 different families that have been affected, children that are mourning the death of their father, and you've got mothers that are mourning the death of their sons, and you've got wives that are mourning the death of their children, and you've got 36 different families in the nation of Israel that are now dealing with the failure. Why? Not because they could not succeed, but because they did not succeed for one reason, and the main reason is because of Achan, but the other reason is because of the fact that they chose not to involve everybody. And they said, just let 10% do 90% of the work. Now keep your place there in Joshua chapter 7. We're going to come back to that. But go with me to the New Testament book of Ephesians. In the New Testament, you got the book of Ephesians. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians. Say, Pastor Menes, why are you telling us that story? The reason that I'm telling you the story about the failure of the children of Israel is because every church can have a potential failure in the same way. See, God called the children of Israel in the Old Testament to do a work among the people there. But in the same way, God has called us, and though God is not calling us to fight any physical battles, God has called us to wage a spiritual warfare. We are in a spiritual battle today. This is a spiritual army that God has called here in Sacramento to wage a war against the forces of darkness. God has called us, but here's what you need to understand. We too will fail when we choose to not involve everyone. See, God's will is that everybody get in the fight. God's will is that everybody join in the work. Everybody join in the labor. Let it not be said of us that we said, well, it's okay to allow, you know, there's 52 people there on that list there of volunteers. Yeah, but we have 150 some odd people here this morning. And that's a lot better than 10%, but let it not be said that we were content to say, well, 2/3 of the people are doing the work. It's okay. No, God, let it not be said of Verity Baptist Church that we said, hey, let not all the people go. Let not all the people rise up. Make not all the people labor. No, God wants everybody involved in the work of the ministry. Are you there in Ephesians 4? Look at verse number 11. Ephesians 4 and verse number 11, the Bible says this, and he gave some apostles, this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, about God, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. You know that God gave you a pastor? I am a gift to you, all right? Don't forget that. God gave you me, all right? And he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and he gave some evangelists, and he gave some pastors, and he gave some teachers. You say, why? Why would God give us apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers? Why would God give Verity Baptist Church a pastor? Here's the reason, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. That's so that you become a well-rounded, complete individual, a disciple in Christ, growing in the Lord. That's why we try to teach you the Word of God. We try to get you to get sin out of your life and walk with God and serve God and become a disciplined or a disciple of Jesus Christ for the perfecting of the saints. But that's not just it. It's not just for the perfecting of the saints. He gave you a pastor for the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. And you people say, well, no, that's saying that the pastor is supposed to do the work of the ministry. And the pastor should do the work of the ministry. But look at verse 13. Notice what the Bible says. Till we all come in the, notice this word, unity of the faith. See, God wants us united. God wants us united in the mission of the perfecting of the saints. But he also wants us united in the mission of the work of the ministry. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You're there in Ephesians. Flip one book over to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 1. This is a verse I often go to, and we read it a lot, but let's just read it again together. Philippians chapter 1. I want you to understand this, that we too will fail when we choose not to involve everyone. And listen to me very carefully. We too will fail if we allow a few to carry the burden. If we just say, just let a small percentage do most of the work. Let a small percentage do most of the volunteering. Let a small percentage carry most of the burden. And if you're here this morning and you're a guest, I'm not talking to you. You happen to be here on Worker Appreciation Day, and we're glad you're here, and we love the fact that you're here. But I'm talking about those of you who call this place your home. You call me your pastor, and you say, Verity Baptist Church is my church. I'm a member at Verity Baptist Church. I want you to understand that God wants you involved in the work of God here. Philippians 1:27, notice what the Bible says. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Notice what Paul said to the church at Philippi. He said that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind. Doesn't that sound like the unity of Ephesians? Till we all come in the unity of the faith? He says that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind. Notice these words. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Notice, he wants the church to be united. He wants the church to be involved. He wants the church to come together in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of God. By the way, that's why we can't have people around here that don't believe the same things we do. And here's the thing, people can come here and not know, and they're growing and learning, and we're thankful for that. But we can't have people come in here and start spreading doctrine, things that we don't believe, against what we believe. You say, why? Because we're supposed to be standing together in one spirit with one mind. We're supposed to abide under one rule, under the word of God, and we're supposed to be striving together. You say, why? For the faith of the gospel. It always comes back to the gospel. Everything we do, by the way, everything we do around here is for the faith of the gospel. Everything we do around here is to further the work of God, is to further the Great Commission, is to do what God has called us to do. You're there in Philippians. Go to the book of 2 Corinthians with me. If you head backwards, you got Philippians, Ephesians, Galatians, and 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I want to show you from the New Testament the success of the Apostle Paul's ministry. The Apostle Paul was one of the, if not the most successful man in ministry that has ever lived. I mean, as far as evangelism, church planning, as far as the Great Commission, I don't know that anybody, we're talking about human beings here, we're not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, has done more for the cause of Christ than the Apostle Paul. If you are here this morning and you are not a Jew and you are saved, you owe your salvation to the Apostle Paul, to bringing the gospel to the Gentiles, to starting churches all across the Gentile world, to writing most of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul was an extremely successful man in ministry, but I want you to understand that one of the reasons for the success of the Apostle Paul was that he understood that he could not get this done on his own. And something that's highlighted throughout the letters of Paul is his involvement of others in ministry. Let's look at it together. Are you there in 2 Corinthians? Look at chapter 8 and verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 23. The Bible says this, whether any do inquire of Titus, notice what he says, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner. Notice what he says about Titus, and fellow helper concerning you. He said, you know, Titus is my partner, and he's my fellow helper. You know what Paul was saying? Paul was saying, I'm not out here by myself, just the Spirit of God and me, and we're just getting it all done. He says, I have a partner and a fellow helper. His name is Titus. He's someone that helps me concerning you or our brethren be inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. You're there in 2 Corinthians 8. Flip back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the book right before 2 Corinthians is 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look at verse number 15. Notice what he says here. 1 Corinthians 16 and chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, excuse me, in verse number 15. Notice what he says. He says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia. Notice what he says about these people. He says, and that they have, notice these words, addicted. Now, normally the word addicted is a negative word. We don't want to talk about people being addicted. But here he says, they have addicted themselves to the ministry. What's the word ministry? It's talking about the serving of the saints. You know, it could be said of some people at Verity Baptist Church that they are addicted to the ministry. I mean, there are some of the volunteers we have around here. I feel bad, you know. And I know they do it for God. They do it for the Lord. They don't do it for me. And I understand that. But, you know, they're just involved in everything. And they do everything. And they show up early and stay late. And they sacrifice and they serve. And you could say of them that they were addicted to the ministry. You know, Paul had people like that with him. He said, these people are addicted to the ministry. Some of you have family that will mock you and make fun of you and say, man, you're going to church again? You're going to go do something there again? What are you, in a cult? He said, well, I'm addicted to the ministry. He says, Titus, my fellow helper, he says, the house of Stephanas, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Go to Romans chapter number 16, just one book over from 1 Corinthians to Romans chapter 16. Notice how Paul does not sit there and say, hey, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Look what I've done for the cause of Christ. He is often bringing light, and he's pointing his finger at the fact that this is a group effort, that we are working together, that we are striving together. See, Paul never had this idea where he said, well, make not all the people to go up and make not all the people to labor. Paul had this idea. He wanted to involve as many people as possible in the work of God. You're there in Romans 16? Look at verse 1. Notice what he says. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Notice what he says about this woman, Phoebe, which is a servant of the church. This woman just served the church. She just served, and she served in the house of God, and she served in the things of God, which is at Synchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For, notice what he says about her, she has been a succorer. That word means someone who provides assistance or support. He says, she has been a succorer of many and of myself. He said, this lady Phoebe is a servant. She is a succorer. She is a helper. She is an assistant. She serves the church and the things of God. And notice what he says in verse 3. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. Notice what he says, my helpers in Christ Jesus. See, Paul wasn't saying, I'm just off by myself, getting it done, doing it all. He says, no, I've got helpers like Titus. I've got fellow helpers like Titus and like the house of Stephanus that have addicted themselves to the ministry. I have helpers like Phoebe, a servant of the church, and she's a succorer of many and of myself also. He said, I've got helpers like Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Look down at verse number 6, same chapter. Notice what he says. He says, greet Mary, who bestowed, notice what he says, much labor on us. He says, Mary is a worker. She's bestowed much labor on us. Look at verse 9. He says, salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Look at verse 12. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa. Notice what he says about these people who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Romans 16 is like the Apostle Paul's Worker Appreciation Sunday. He's going through a list and just saying, you know, this person has helped and this person has labored and this person's a servant and this person's a succor and they labored much and they're my helpers and they help. And here's what he's saying. He's bringing a attention to the fact that the work of God is not to be done by one person or one family or one individual or one group of people, but it is to be a group effort. It is to be people joining together. You say, what is your goal at Mary Baptist Church? You know, you say, you had 50-some-odd people on that appreciation list there. Do you really want more? Do you really need more? Here's what I know. A healthy church and healthy Christians will be giving of their time, talent, and treasure in serving and sacrificing for the things of God. If it was up to me, we would have 100% of the church people on that list. You say, why? Do you really need that much? No, because here's what I know. We are doing our best when we are serving together. Amen. We are doing our best when we are serving God. And the more that we can involve, the more, you know, our goal is we want to get as close to 100% involvement as possible. Amen. In the things of God. And I want to use today to kind of bring that to your attention. And we've talked about it already, but in your bulletin, and would you go ahead and just take that out? In your bulletin, you have this little card. It says Verity Baptist Church Volunteer Opportunities. And it's got some places there. I want to bring this to your attention. I want to kind of just talk to you about some areas that you could help out. Maybe you're sitting there saying, well, I'd like to serve, and I've got some time, and I'm involved. I'd like to get involved, but I just don't know how, or I don't know where. We've got a lot of places where people can serve around here. But what we did this year is we took the places that either we need some help in or some ministries that aren't created that we would like to create. And we just want to see if there are people who would be willing to say, hey, I can serve in one of these areas. Now, let me go ahead and say this before we get started on this list, right? Let me give one disclaimer. Here's what we don't want, because I know some of you. The goal of this morning is not this. It's not to take the 10% that's already serving and put more on them. Because some of you, you know, and your heart's in the right place, and we love you for it, you're going to volunteer for as many of these things as you possibly can when you're already carrying two or three other ministries. And we love you, and we thank you, and we appreciate you. But that's not the point of this. The point of this is that I want to try to involve people who aren't already involved. And I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, and I'm not trying to bring attention to anybody, but here's what I'm trying to say. If your name is not on this list, I'm talking to you. I'm asking you, would you consider volunteering and helping in the ministry of Verity Baptist Church? Now, I realize that there are some of you on that list, and the things that you're doing, you say, that's not a lot of work, and that doesn't take up a lot of time, and I could serve another capacity. And if that's the case, that's fine. But the goal is this. We don't want to walk out of here and say, well, the same 10% is volunteered again, or the same 20% is volunteered again. We want to try to involve as many people as possible. Let me quickly just go through this list and kind of explain some of these things that we could use help in. The first two say rotating coffee and donut ministry. Now, there's two options there for Saturday and Sunday. And, of course, Ms. Blanca is here with us this morning, and we're so thankful for her. Ms. Blanca, for many years, served doing the coffee and donuts. She's obviously had some health problems, had a major surgery. She's recovering, and she's not able to assist in that. And we totally understand that, and we are thankful for her. And the staff has been taking over that ministry. But, you know, there's an opportunity here for some of you to step up and to say, well, I could do that. You say, well, what is the goal there? Well, what we'd like to do, if we can, is to establish a list of people, a group of people, who would, on a rotation, you know, take, you know, the job of bringing in the coffee and the donuts for the different events around here. Now, you say, well, why is there Saturday and Sunday? We consume a lot of donuts around here. And, you know, we have a time of fellowship with coffee and donuts on Saturday morning before we go soul winning. And we also have a time of fellowship on Sunday mornings before the church service. And you might say, well, I could help with Saturday, but not Sunday, or I could help with Sunday, but not Saturday. But if that's something that you would consider, now let me say this about the coffee and donuts. We don't expect you to pay for them, all right? The church takes on that financial burden. We pay for all of that. What we need is just the help of someone being able to go and pick them up and bring them here and set it up and know that it can be done well. And, you know, I don't mean to bring up Ms. Blanca too much, but Ms. Blanca is the perfect example of the type of servant of the church that we are looking for. And here's the reason why. For many years when we did the coffee and donut ministry, my wife and I did it because, you know, we did everything. And when we did it, you know, keep in mind that at the same time that we were doing coffee and donuts, we were also getting up early every Sunday morning, both my wife and I, driving separate vehicles to pick up several people for church. On our routes, as we were picking up people for church, one of us would pick up donuts, and, you know, she'd make coffee in the morning, and that's what we had. We literally had coffee, and we had donuts. That's why we called it coffee and donuts. When Ms. Blanca took over this ministry, it got exceptionally better. Not only was there coffee, there was then fruit, and there was different types of things and all of that, and we love that. You know, it's always great when you can give somebody a job, and they do it better than what you were doing. And, you know, maybe there's somebody here who say, well, I could do that. I could help with that. I could commit to every Sunday bringing the coffee or bringing the donuts. Or we could train you on that. If that's something that you would be say, you know, I could do that. And let me say this. If you fill this thing out, it doesn't mean you're going to do it. It just means that we're going to talk to you about it and see if it's a good fit. Maybe we find it's not a good fit for you or something that would work for you. But maybe you could help with the rotating of the coffee and donuts on Saturdays or on Sundays. The third option here, it says copying and assembling CDs and DVDs. Now, this is a ministry that we've not yet started and we'd like to start. Here at Verity Baptist Church, we have a lot of resources we give out, and we don't sell anything, we give out everything for free. Every week, we have somewhere around 80 soul winners who hand out Bible's Way to Heaven DVDs, Lessons to New Believers DVDs. We hand out DVDs and resources and things like crazy around here. And we pay to get all those things made. We pay good money to get all those things made. And what we have found is that we can save a considerable amount of money if we copy and assemble those things in-house. So what we'd like to do is see if we can find 2-3 people that would be willing to, maybe at home, we could supply them with the equipment, or maybe come to church once every other week or something, and have a time where they would sit there and actually make the copies of the, and we have a machine that will actually make 5 copies of a DVD or a CD at a time, but we just need somebody to work that. And if they could make the copies, and they could, we would print the labels, and they could assemble them, get them ready for the soul winners on Saturday, for the gift bags, or the things that we do. If we could get a group of people that would help us with the copying and assembling of CDs and DVDs, we could actually save the church quite a bit of money, as opposed to what we're doing now, which is having a company take care of that for us. Or what we've been doing a lot is that our staff guys are sitting there and doing that for us, and they're doing that when they could be taking care of some other things. We could have some volunteers come in and help us with that. So maybe that's something you'd be interested in. It doesn't mean you're going to do it, but you could check that off and say, well, I think I could possibly help in that. I think I could come to church once every other week on a Tuesday night or on a Monday morning or whatever it might be and help with the copying and assembling of CDs and DVDs. We always need van drivers around here. If you don't mind driving a van, we could use your help. You just need a license, and we could use your help for that. Number 5, some people don't want to drive a van, but they could offer to pick up people on the way to church. We pick up a lot of people for church here at our church, and we're glad to do it. We want to do it. If someone wants to come to church and they don't have the transportation, we want to try to provide that for them. And we have a van that goes around in a route and picks people up for church. Sometimes, though, there are people who want to come to church that don't live in that route, and it becomes really difficult for the van. We can't have the van just going everywhere. So it would be helpful for us if we had some volunteers who said, hey, if somebody needs to ride on Sunday morning, I get up early. I'm ready to go. I have a vehicle that can do it. I would be able to help in that ministry. You know, I don't feel comfortable driving a 15-passenger van or a 12-passenger or whatever it is. But, you know, I wouldn't mind using my own vehicle. Maybe that's something you could help us with. You know, you can write in there for that, for the picking up people. Number six, counting out invitations. We hand out, I don't know, close to, I think, 700, 800 invitations a week around here. And we have to count those out and put them into stacks of 25 and stacks of 100 and get them out for our 80 soul winners every week. And it takes up a lot of work. Maybe that's something you could help in. You know, the copying and assembling of CDs and DVDs and the counting out of invitations is probably something we could do as a group together, you know, for if a group was able to do that. We also have a rotating setup for the soul winning. You know, for many years, you would show up to church on a Saturday morning for soul winning, and we would all meet here in the main room together for our soul winning meeting. That got extremely difficult once we started having around 50 soul winners every week, once we started having 60 soul winners every week. When we got to about 65 soul winners, we couldn't do it anymore as far as pairing people up and having people ready. So this year we transitioned into a new plan, which has worked out really well for us, which is we've divided our soul winners into different groups. We have three team captains on a Saturday. We have five different times and different people who lead that. On Saturday mornings, we have three team captains. When you come to soul winning, you get assigned a group. You know, one group meets in the foyer, one meets in the break room, one meets here in the auditorium. And it's smaller groups that a team captain can assign people to, and we send people out. And then on Thursday, there's a team, and then on Sunday, there's a team. Well, when we divide those groups, there's a setup that's required for those groups because every one of those groups has their own coffee, has their own donuts, has their own resources, things like that. You know, setting up for that might be something you could help us with. Number eight, there's a creating soul-winning maps. Now, this is something that I want to spend a little bit of time talking about, and I actually had the guys come. Guys, you can come go ahead and bring that in. I wanted them to bring this in. Because I wanted you to kind of understand what I'm talking about. And, you know, the Bible says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. And I wanted to show you this. Here at Very Baptist Church, we're very organized when it comes to our soul winning and what we do as far as reaching people. And this year, what we did, we've had maps in the past, and we still have them, and I'm thankful for them. But this year, what we did is we acquired this map of Sacramento, and it's laminated. And this hangs in my office for now. One day, Lord willing, we'll have it out maybe in the foyer or something like that. But what we've been doing is we've been going through and marking the areas that have been knocked on in the city of Sacramento. Now, our church is somewhere, is sitting right here. So you can see we're sitting right here this morning, and we've knocked all the areas basically around our church and a lot. And here's what you need to understand. The city of Sacramento comes down around here. Not all of this is Sacramento, but most of this is Sacramento, and it comes all the way down to about here, all right? We've done most of the northern part. I would say that we've done about 30 to 35% of the city of Sacramento. Now, here's what you need to understand about that. A lot of this has been done multiple times because we've knocked our community in Atoma several times, and I'm thankful for that. You know, Brother Montel was just reminding me that he got his house knocked on once a year, every year for 5 years before they came to church, you know, or 3 or 4 years, something like that. And they're a great family we have around here, so we're thankful for that. A lot of this has been done multiple times. Some of this is not even Sacramento. It's West Sacramento, it's Rio Linda, it's North Highlands, which are different cities from the city of Sacramento. In September, we recently had our 7th anniversary, and what I am kind of trying to do or focusing on is over the next 3 years, by the time that we have our 10th anniversary, I would like for us to be able to knock, to be able to say that we've knocked every door in Sacramento, which means we have to start heading south and we have to start heading a little bit east. Those of you that go soul winning on Saturdays have noticed that you've been heading in this direction as we go soul winning. My plan is for us to be knocking new areas during our regular soul winning times, going south of our church and east of our church, as close to the church as possible while knocking new areas to fill in this map. The problem is that there's a lot of areas down here in the South Sacramento area. It's not far. You know, it's 25 to 30 minutes from the church, but it's further than we'd like to ask people to drive on a Saturday morning. So here's the goal and here's the plan. And I'm sharing with you not to scare you off, hopefully to get you a little bit excited. The goal is that starting next year, once a quarter, four times a year, for the next 3 years, so hopefully 12 times in the next 3 years, we're going to hold a one-day soul-winning event somewhere in a zip code in these areas down here. So, for example, maybe in January, we're going to pick a park in the pocket area of Sacramento. We're going to meet there on a Saturday morning. We'll have coffee and donuts, of course, and we'll have, you know, breakfast for you that morning. We'll go soul winning during that morning. We'll come back and have lunch for you that there at that park. We'll go back that afternoon, and the goal is to possibly knock out an entire zip code in one day with eight, if we can get 80 of our soul winners or more to show up for that. If we can do that 12 times over the next year, along with what we're normally doing in soul winning, I believe it's totally possible to be able to stand here at our 10th anniversary and say, we have knocked every door. We have filled Sacramento with our doctrine. You know, we have knocked every door. Creating soul winning maps. And you guys can go ahead and take that back. I just want you to see that and kind of get a vision for that. The last thing here on this list is the rotating offering counters. Right now, we've got some faithful men who count the offering every service, but they count the offering every week, and it's just them. And they get stuck there, and they have to do it, and it eats away from some of their time of fellowship. And I'd like to add some men to that rotation to kind of take some of that burden. Now, if you see the rotating offering counters there, it says pastor for requirements. We do have some requirements when it comes to that because of the fact that you're dealing with church money. So let me just go ahead and put out there, some of you are going to get offended and leave or whatever, and that's fine. But let me put this out there. You know, what we need for rotating counters is we need men. That's a ministry that we have the men of the church do, number one. We only allow men that are faithful to all three services, and we only allow men that are tithing, that we can see on the records that they are tithing. Obviously, we don't want people who aren't financially invested in our church handling the money of our church. And if that doesn't make any sense to you, you've never ran a business, all right? But that's just how it goes. So if you are a man who says, I'm faithful to all the services, I'm a soul winner, that's another one, I'm a soul winner, and I tithe, you know, regularly here, I could help with that. You know, let us know. And again, the point of this list is not to try to get the same guys to volunteer, the same ladies to volunteer. We have so many people here that if I asked them to do something, they would do it. That's not the point. The point is we want 100% involvement. We want as many people involved in the work of God as possible. And these are some ministries and some areas where we could really use some help and maybe some new ministries that could really help us out in getting things done and ramping up the growth around here for the next year. Now, let's just real quickly go back to Joshua chapter 8. Let me give you a few verses, and we'll finish up this morning. Joshua chapter number 8. Let's finish up our story. Remember the story? They go into Jericho. They go into Ai. The children of Israel eventually win that battle. Joshua chapter number 8 and verse number 18. Notice what the Bible says. Joshua 8:18. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it unto thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city, and the ambush arose quickly out of their place. And they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it and hasted and set the city on fire." See, they initially lost the battle, Ai. But they eventually won the battle of Ai. And you say, well, what was the difference? Well, remember the first time they said, let not all the people labor. Let not everyone go up. The difference was that when they won the battle, they got everyone involved. Look at verse 1 of chapter 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Notice what he says. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. Look at verse number 3. So Joshua arose, and all the people of war. You know, what I would like it to be said at a Verity Baptist Church is that we arose, and all the people arose. All the people got involved. I believe next year is going to be the greatest year in our church's ministry. I believe we've got things already are ramping up and things. We've got an orchestra coming that's going to be awesome. I'm so excited about it. We got this idea about, oh, maybe we could start an orchestra, and we thought maybe one or two people would show up. We have more people in this orchestra than really a church our size should have. And, you know, they've been practicing, and they've been getting things ready, and we're excited for them coming. There are so many great things coming in this year, but we need your help to do it. We need your help to pick up, to maintain the growth and maintain the momentum. So here's the whole point, and here's the question. I'm just asking, would you be willing to say, I can give of myself. I can give of my time. I can sacrifice of my talent. I can give of my abilities. And I can fill one of those needs. And I can get involved. Because here's what I know. If we all work together, there's no telling what can be done for the cause of Christ. Would you just take a moment and maybe look through this, and maybe you're not ready to commit to anything or ask about anything, and that's fine. You can take this home and pray about it, but we're going to have a basket set up, and if I can have one of the guys, Brother Stuckey, Brother Oliver, make sure we have a basket out there on the way out. You can fill this card out, drop it in that basket. We'll follow up with you in regards to it. Please know, if you fill this out, it doesn't mean you're going to do that job. It just means we're going to talk to you about it. We're going to explain it to you. You might, after we explain it, you might say, oh, I'm not able to do that. That's fine. We're not going to be mad at you. But if you're interested in serving in any of these capacities at Verity Baptist Church, we'd love to have you. Let me finish by saying this. For those of you who serve, for those of you who give, who volunteer, who give of your time, we have so many people that show up here on Monday mornings. We have two different groups that show up on Monday morning to clean up this place after the Sunday services. We have another group that shows up on Saturdays to clean up this place after the Wednesday service. We have a group that will go in here between the Sunday morning and the Sunday night services to make sure it's ready for the evening service. To all of you that just do so much around here, I just want to say thank you. We appreciate you. And I want to just end with this verse, Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the Bible. Lord, I understand that today is a unique day with the work appreciation, and the sermon may be a little different than what we normally do around here. But Lord, I do want to take some time and just acknowledge all of those who serve and sacrifice and give of themselves for the work of the ministry. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would motivate some who maybe